one little break.
Oh, yeah.
So you have questions. Let's deal with the questions.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to figure out, let's see, where do I start? Okay, why do you call chords flat 5 instead of sharp 11? Sometimes?
Okay, there are two criteria for flat 5. Let's work backwards. Sharp 11, when to call it sharp 11. It's not that it's absolutely rigid, but generally, we have this logic that if we're already dealing with chords that are tertiary, you know, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11,
right.
So why kill the logic and take that number 11 and change it into a 5?
Right, especially if it's up above in this one particular chord.
Agreed.
It's above the...
Agreed. So if you have a natural, not any kind of 7 and 9 below the 11th, it seems proper to think of that, you know, 7, 9, 11 is easier for the brain to compute and understand.
Exactly.
That's one thing. Now, working the other way, if a chord doesn't have a ninth, like a dominant seven, you see the fifth and you flat it. I don't have any quarrels with calling that a flat five or minor seven, you know, flat five, major seven, flat five.
Right.
Because there's not enough upper stuff going on. If we put 9 or 13 in there, then there's a reason to keep our thinking up in the higher register. Right. The other thing is when a tone sounds in this register, there's a grouch factor at work.
Yeah.
I mean, the flat 5 has a grouchier sound than sharp 11's an airy, you know, pretty transparent note. Whereas the flat 5, even in the mid-range, is kind of, you know, it's a darker sound. This doesn't sound to me like D major 7, sharp 11, like a chord book might show.
I would want to think that as a flat 5 if you wanted that kind of grunty.
It is flat 5, exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying. This is flat 5.
Right.
Yet that same chord up here, you know, if somebody, like if you play this D Lydian, okay, Mark? Get the D in there too. With the A, like double, this is sharp 11 up here. It's the same interval. It's just...
Yeah, but then I would assume that there's a bunch of notes that we're not playing below that when it's after a certain range, that's all.
It's register sensitive, yeah. If you're playing, there are two, again, if it's low register, forget sharp 11. It's flat 5 to the ear, regardless of what the paper might say.
Okay, but then why did you call this one that's...
I might have screwed up. I'm human. I might have said... standards...
Why would you call that a flat 5, except for the fact that there's no...
Oh, well, that's what I was just saying. See, when we have dominant 7, when we have 7th level harmony,
right,
there's no reason necessarily to compute 11th intervals.
Right.
But it's when you start to get into 9, 11, and 13, when you're mixed in with the upper partials, there's no sense in thinking about 5 then, if the same note could be called 11. Why not keep our logic sound about 7, 9s, and 11s? But we're so acclimated through conditioning to say 1, 3, 5, 7.
Yeah.
This interval here, if supported by a natural 5, takes on a sharp 11 aspect. That's
right.
A third situation as far as when...
You've got a 9 in there too? No,
it's just that when you have a natural 5, for semantic ease, either that way or let's say dominant 7, because you know this chord, you played this a ton of time, so add the natural 5 into that.
Sure, what am I doing? Yeah.
Keep everything else that was in the chord, don't add 9s or just re-finger it, add
there you go.
That's it. Yeah, it sounds like... in there, please.
Okay.
There it is. Yeah. So if we add the 13 or the 9 or even the natural 5 down below, this note turns into a sharp 11, possibly.
So just, I mean, obviously you could call it either way. I mean, it's sort of...
It is subjective, but I feel we're doing ourselves a grave injustice to say that a note is something... I mean, does this sound like a flat 5? Flat 5 has a different sound.
Right.
It's just a different interval.
Okay.
This sounds like a stock, you know, like that has a flat 5-ness. We're conditioned to know that that's the 5th.
Right.
It doesn't sound advanced, but as soon as you do that, it takes on an airier quality when it's mixed. It's the same note, same register, but it sounds different.
Okay. And then, The next one I had, what I figured out this morning anyways, E minor 7, 11, flat 5 over the B flat, right?
Yeah.
Which is, then I think, well, why didn't
E
you...
E flat Lydian? Or?
Why didn't you call it an E flat major 7 sharp 11 or B flat or a
where
B flat chord?
Where's that chord? Oh,
okay. Why'd you end up calling that an E minor?
Why is it E minor?
Yeah, I figured it out, though.
There's a G note in there.
So that could be also in a B flat or an E flat chord.
Well, you wonder, why didn't I call it a B flat chord?
Or is an E flat chord of some kind.
E flat.
Well, wouldn't it be an E flat sharp 11?
Yeah, you're right. Let me think. Why did I? Let's see why.
Because of the D over... Because of the D over B flat?
I know why. Play this chord, please. Chords sound the same to me. This doesn't sound like B flat anything.
Sounds like, well, okay.
B flat, this sounds like, Mark, this sounds like B flat. When you have that 5. It sounds G minor somehow.
But then I noticed this.
The way we're taught in this century.
Anyways.
To Bach, it's B flat.
Then I noticed that you had this note also as an optional.
That makes it a minor 11 flat 5.
Then it made more sense. When I heard that, then I heard, oh, then it comes from that melodic minor scale, and it comes from whatever.
Uh-oh. You're not calling that, like, G melodic minor, are you?
Sure. That's why I'd solo over it if I was going to...
Oh, Mark.
It's one of these things.
Mark. It's the right scale. Good. Think about this. Changes come by. You have another scale with another root tone that gives you the same notes you would get if you thought from the old root tones, the ones that are there.
Well, I think.
Wait, hear me out, please, and I'll shut up, and you can talk. In other words, like you get a progression that goes C, B, E, A.
Right.
So for the C, Mark thinks G melodic minor. For the B altered, Mark thinks C melodic minor.
Right.
For the G minors, for the E minor 7 flat 5, he thinks G melodic minor, and for the A altered, he thinks, well, it's got a natural F sharp in there, so you can't think that, so he thinks F, B flat diminished. So you've got four different root tones to remember, instead of just saying there's a C thing, a B thing. I mean, it takes longer initially, but man, your brain is much clearer when you go to solo, and you'll be using the same notes.
Well,
there are four minor 7 flat 5 scales. They're legit from their own root, just like a Locrian scale is a legitimate minor 7 flat 5 scale. It's good to hear them, too. You learn to hear that scale.
Right from
you
the
start
root.
From the octaves, you fill in scales for the octaves. So let's take the key of, well, we can do it in E.
Well, right.
Hear me out, this won't take long. Then you do the flat third. It's got a fourth in it.
Good.
Then we're going to get the flat 5. We're going to hear it from its own root. Right, to hear it. Yeah, so you know where the notes are. I'm just saying about learning to hear things and think of things from their own root.
Oh,
it's
no.
Such a labyrinth. Imagine soloing all of these changes with all these other...
I knew you'd start doing that. You're the same way with modes, too. If I say... I'm Dorian, I'm playing C major. I'm playing D Dorian, but I'm actually playing C major. You don't like that.
So. Can you solo over this C, B, E minor, A7, and actually be... Is it comfortable for you to say C-sharp melodic and then G melodic?
I agree with you totally. There's nothing... But since the point is that it's... I found that it was much easier to learn all my modes, and now I am working on the melodic minor modes, too. Much easier to learn all my modes by knowing just the melodic minor, one master, like a master scale over the neck, and then taking, like I've been working on the Lydian dominant scale.
I understand.
Right?
You're saying it's a visual thing. Once you have the shapes, then you could
change roots.
Process, yes. In other words, when you work on Lydian dominant, you're seeing it from its new root.
I knew, say, for example, that
understand,
A...
Because that's what I did, too. May I?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I just don't want to see anybody get hurt with these babies.
So A Lydian dominant, I know is an E melodic minor.
Right.
And I learned the E melodic minor up and down the neck, but when I actually, you know, now I've got to get to the point where I go like, you know, and I hear it from...
You see it and you hear it from the
egg or from the chord tones or whatever.
Right. when they're slipped that bad, something's wrong there, and that's one reason I want to check it out. Yeah. Have it happen while you're here instead of on stage or something.
Yeah, no, that's because I've been bending.
What do you use? I'll grab a new string.
Well, I got some new ones.
Really? You got one in your kit?
I think so.
Fuck yeah, I think I can get. I buy them in bulk.
Do you? What do you use? Nines? Tens?
Yeah, nines.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times when I'm playing gigs, I don't change the low string. I change the high strings more than I change the low
strings. Same here.
You know, I keep them because I like they get sort of worn in and they're cool. And then I like changing, like before a gig, I'll often change the B and the E. You know? And maybe the G.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do for financial reasons more than anything else, just because it gets so expensive. I used to change strings every day when strings were cheaper, and it was crazier.
Well, they stay in tune better. They settle in.
You might have to get this out of the screen. Barry Carlton changes between every set.
I've watched that.
You watched him? I mean, you saw him changing strings backstage?
Yeah, he'll go himself, too. He doesn't have a roadie, dude. He'll just go.
Every set, man, imagine that. I understand it because I wreck strings fast too. It's just remarkable that he's that diligent about it.
Yep. Okay, so now on some of these little exercises here, I see what is the point? Is it for going to one or? I mean, some of them.
What's the point of any of this? Let's start with that.
Yeah. Where am I going to use it? I can see the substitutes. I can see the tritone thing when you go four dominants in a row, which is like a 3-6-2-5 sort of thing, right?
Yeah. That. Sometimes I just think chromatic. I don't think of it as tritone sub.
But that's, I mean, that's technically why it works or whatever, right?
No, it technically is explained sometimes from the tritone thing, but it also works from its own inherent logic. Because Marx sits down to write a progression, and he goes. To harmonize that, so he goes. And, you know. I'm not thinking tritones, nor would you be. You just think chromatic bass sometimes.
Okay, now is
it. You understand that, right? That it's not always because of tritone sub.
No.
Tritone subs are when there's something written there already that is 3-6-2-5, and then you change it and you make it chromatic.
Well, you would use these if you were, say, doing a standard or something. You could substitute this stuff in. But what? Okay, so then where did the melodies come from? Are they just something?
Oh, melodies are just melodies. Anything. Just little fragments of anything.
Well, I mean, so is there any particular reason why any particular one's dominant and every particular one's minor? Or is there any logic to that?
I mean, as far as the quality of the chord?
Yeah, each chord.
Yeah, just my own taste at any given moment. But there's no particular logic as such. I can tell you that the flavors you probably have noticed too are certain things like 4 minor 7 or 6 is very warm territory, even minor major 7, you know.
I notice.
It's like if you expect and you get it just has a beautiful sound.
So there's, I mean.
But there's no inherent absolute logic there.
Yeah,
it's just a question of taste.
Modulation like that is like.
Well, I don't even think that's not modulation. That's still just in the key, but expanded key. It's only modulation if I go.
Right. Well, it's sort of, your ear goes.
You could perceive it as modulation, but how do you perceive this? Have an F sharp to begin with. If you heard the whole package, you wouldn't be thinking about F sharp.
But I mean, no,
it's
no.
Package time, man. When you hear progressions, you go package sometimes. So you hear that mood. You won't be thinking F sharp notes. Not unless you want to get one for a moment on the D chord.
Well, what are you going to think?
Well, you're going to think of great stuff that has an F in it for number one. Yeah, there's a good chance that you'll be thinking. I mean, to be honest, that's what will end up happening. Right, a lot of chromatics. But we're not changing keys. When you hear not changing keys.
Yeah, but there's no upper notes.
Yes, there is. I've got majors. You understand that scale works against everything in America.
Right.
Major 7 chord.
If you find it from the right note, sure.
I mean, just the E blues scale would work in the key of E, no matter what I play in the key of E, no matter what.
Yeah.
You can play that if that's what you want. If you hear, wee bop and boo
bop, wee bop and boo bop. You're not going to put the flat third over.
Yeah, over major 7. Sure. It shouldn't work. That's fake fast. It should not work, but it just does, you know?
I mean, I've done stuff like this. If you play an E major 7th chord, then I'll go, I'll do a major run, and I'll go... Something like that.
Yeah, that... Even more drastic, though, the flat third is just a thing that happens.
It's going to start slipping.
No, because you were careful this time to wind it.
Still not.
If it constantly breaks up there, as opposed to somewhere else...
It never has.
Oh, okay.
Burr or something.
Because then, yeah, right. Anyway, yeah, there is an expanded sense of the key, right? Like when we're in the key of E, we do have G chords, G major, that is.
Yeah.
It's just not diatonic major, right?
Yeah. You're not going to put the flat 7 on that, though.
Or in G7?
No, the flat, the D over E major 7.
Yeah, you do, if you want. You can put any blue tone over the major 7. Okay, sorry, I didn't want you to do that. Let me erase that sound so it sounds normal to me. Just got to get that out of my ears. Alright, let's see. But it does, man. The blue refrain, the sound of the plaintiveness of the blue tones is so strong to the American ear that likes that sound, most of the people in this country do, including you, that it just overrides rules of harmony, man.
Bugs me.
That it should work, you mean?
No, I don't. It doesn't. When I hear it, it doesn't
okay,
work.
Dick, when you hear this. Oh, wait a second. Let me do this right. Nothing bad so far, right? It's pretty stock. Right. Okay, now Dick, I just played a dominant 7 with a major 7. The blue tone got you involved.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I played B7. I played B7,
yeah.
Sharp 5, and I put the major 7 on top of the flat 7. If I wrote that in a chord book, you know, and said, okay, here's a whole page of major 7, pardon me, dominant 7, sharp 5s of major 7s. You know, everybody put the book back in the rack. But the truth is, at a given moment when there's a blue tone in the air,
it just seems to
override.
I see where that happens, because obviously when you do this, the turnaround, right, just in the regular blues, you know. Nails into the flat, which is the major.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things like that about the blues scale that shouldn't work.
I'm talking about just something like this. You're strumming.
Normally, most guys won't, but I'm just saying, this, if you've already put out in the air, and then one time in the next chorus, and you went, it's just like you're getting bluesy for a moment, and it'll
Carl
wash.
Does that, doesn't he?
I think so. I think Larry will do that if he's in the right mood, you know, spots a pretty woman in the audience, you know.
Okay, anyways.
So,